Lord, let's go ahead and get started with this service. This is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it. We made it through another week despite the enemy, despite our flesh. Praise the Lord. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor, and we thank you for this day, the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. I pray now, Father, your blessing upon each and every facet of this service, Father. Bless and anoint each and every person that is playing a part in this service today. We pray that your Holy Spirit would take control. Father, we submit our will, our ways, our minds, our thoughts, our words to you, Father. Let it come forth according to the Holy Spirit, according to your leading, Father. And every person that walks through the door, let them feel the love of God. Let them see something that they are missing, which is you, Jesus. Which is you. The enemy, I give you notice in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. I bind you. I cast you out, and you can return no more in Jesus' name. By that authority do I command you, not by my own. Father, I submit this vessel to you. Let your words and your will be done. Let nothing in myself remain, only you, and your words come forth. Let the people's heart enlarge. Father, let your word take root. Let it grow. Let it mature. Let it become what it's called to be. And let us be the men and women of God that we are called to be, the army of God. Not only the soldiers, but the warriors of Christ Jesus. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today I want to talk about a very unpopular title. Very unpopular thing. And this is the reason why people do not remain in the faith. Because it requires some painful things. So I want to talk to you about when pain is normal. When pain is normal. Now, in the physical body, and that is the title of today's service, of course. In the physical body, when you have pain, it usually denotes that there is something wrong. And I'm not talking about physical pain in that sense. I'm talking about a spiritual. It's amazing how in the spirit realm, it's almost the opposite of everything in the natural realm. So today I want to talk about when pain is normal. And I think it was interesting when God come to the gentleman that went and prayed for Paul because his eyes were covered. He had an experience with Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he says, I want to show him all the things that he will do and how he will suffer for my name's sake. And most of us don't want to think about the Christian life as something that you have to suffer for, but you do. You do. This is not a cakewalk. It is better when you realize that you're doing it and within his strength, but I'm just going to tell you, it's painful. It is painful. And you know what? In healing, the natural part of your body will be painful. My daughter accidentally stabbed her hand Monday night with one of my hunting knives, large knife. And we ended up in the ER. And even after she had been given what little medication they could give her to numb her, she experienced pain not only from the trauma, but here we are 2 or 3 days later, and we're still seeing and feeling some pain in that area because the body is trying to heal. It's trying to heal itself, doing what God has made it to be, a healer of itself. But she was still experiencing pain after a couple days. And so we were watching for infection. We're doing all that we can to keep it from the edema, the swelling, you know, the fluid that the body normally sends the white blood cells immediately, and blood comes through, and it's a cleansing and it's a healing process. But in the time, it's swelling. And so there's pain involved with it. So that's kind of where this sermon was birthed. But I want to talk to you. I want to tell you in 2 Corinthians 1:8, even Paul wrote about this. He said, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, talking about his own strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Even of life. Have you ever been to that point? I know I have. Enemies tried you on every hand. Your flesh is behaving like the flesh. And you're battling not only within, struggling, but you're having to deal with the forces of the enemy. And although you are a child that walks in authority and the power of Jesus Christ, you still have to deal. You still have to be pressed. Sometimes you're above your strength. And that's when you need to be calling on God, because you know that you're going to need him. But there are even times when you despair even of life. God, why is this happening? What have I done? Sometimes I'll say, what did I do to deserve this? But pain is normal. It is normal. Don't go around all sad and pouty, because listen, baby, we are all going through it. I can tell you what went on in 2 weeks in my household. I had a dog, one diagnosed with strep. 4 days later, two people in the house, not my family, I shouldn't say house, but diagnosed with COVID. And then 3 days later, we were in our ER with her, stabbed herself in the hand by accident. And I looked at my husband, and I was like, what is going on here? What is happening? It's just the enemy. It's just life. It is what it is. I can't change it myself. All I can do at this point is try not to be despair of life and keep going through with God as he has called us to do. So I want to go to Romans 5. And I want to read this in two translations, but I want to read it in the Passion Translation. I want to read some of these in the Passion Translation. Then I'm going to go to King James. But the Passion Translation, it's good to look at different translations, although the New King James and the King James is what I tend to teach from. But I want you to hear it in different words. It says, our faith in Jesus transfers God's righteousness to us, and he now declares us flawless in his eyes. This means we can now enjoy true and lasting peace with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One, has done for us. Our faith guarantees us permanent access into this marvelous kindness that he has given us, a perfect relationship with God. What incredible joy bursts forth within us as we keep on celebrating our hope of experiencing God's glory. But that's not all. Even in times of trouble, we have a joyful confidence, knowing that our pressures will develop in us patient endurance. And patient endurance will refine our character, and proven character leads us back to hope. And this hope is not a disappearing fantasy, because we can now experience the endless love of God cascading into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who lives in us. But did you see that process? Did you see a process there? We have all this already. But notice there's a process in those words. Let's read it in the King James Version. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, that's the first step, you got to have faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And now only so, not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Most of us don't even get to that part. We get to tribulation and we're like, oh, hold up. Wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. All right, Lord, I'm a child of God. What is going on here? Tribulation? Tribulation. And then it says, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That's a dirty word in my book. I don't have much patience. Lord's always working on that part. And patient experience, and I like experience. Been there, done that. I can help you with that. I don't like that other part, though. I'll just be honest with you. And experience brings hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Without strength. I want to talk to you about pain. When pain is normal. Pain, if you look at the definition, says physical suffering or discomfort. It's an unpleasant sensory or emotional experience associated with actual or potential tissue damage. Now it's talking in the physical sense, but let me take it a little further into the spiritual. What is tissue? Tissue is groups of layers of cells that work together to perform a specific function. They function together as a unit. Cells. But I'm here to talk to you about spiritual cells. Cell is a small room in which a prisoner is locked up. So this whole time, we're in locked up in this cell, and we're stuck in this cell. And to get us free, there's pain involved. So many times we want to stick with the familiar. I want to do it the way I know to do. I want to do it like Mama did it or Daddy did it, or I want to do it this way or that way. But you're called to come out of the cells, my friends. And sometimes that requires pain on a level that you may not even understand. So let's break it down, what the scripture said. And notice he says we're supposed to be glory in tribulation. How many times when you're going through tribulation and experiencing some type of pain, are you even happy about it? I know I'm not. First reaction is not to be that way, isn't it? By human nature, you could look at me and look at my face. My husband, after almost 35 years, he can look at me and take one look at me or listen to me answer the phone. He'd say, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" He can read me like a book. He's been with me for 35 years. He knows. He knows. There's so many times that leaders come and stand on this stage and perform and do, and you don't even know what went on the week before. You don't know what they experienced. Did you know that I was going through that the last 2 weeks? No. I would say I've kept it pretty hid. But I want to tell you, God brought me through it all. My husband and I are healthy. My child didn't lose a finger. She didn't lose any feelings. She didn't cut any tendons. God, I have so much to praise you for. But sometimes we look at what's going on and we can't get past this even happened. Well, I'm here to tell you, sometimes pain is normal. Sometimes it's normal. Don't be so caught up in yourself that you think you're the only one having problems. Because I'm here to tell you, you're not. So let's look at some of these meanings of the word. Tribulation means to persecute. It's persecution or affliction. It's distress. It's pressure that constricts, or when something rubs together. It's a narrow place where you feel hemmed in. It's internal pressure that causes you to feel confined or restricted or anguish. Anguish simply is severe mental or physical pain or suffering. Tribulation. It's more than just trials. It's so much more. Your flesh gives you tribulation sometimes when it wants you to do and behave and see and seek and do the things that you used to do, which you are called away from now. And even now, the Holy Spirit is revealing things in your life, in your heart, that don't quite go along with what Christ-like should be. And today, pain is one of them. I want to talk to you about more about that. So the next thing it says, tribulation will work with patience. Patience is perseverance. Oh, we don't like that. We don't like that going through, because as soon as we touch that nerve, we're like, whoo, get away from that. No, baby, sometimes it's the cell that you're in and God's trying to get you out. perseverance. It means remaining. A potential, it's endurance, remaining under, endurance, being steadfast. It's the going through part. It gives you the ability to go through, but we go through with God. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you into the ends of the world. But we don't want to pursue. We don't want to go through. We don't want to persevere at all, do we? Because that's that's pain. That's pain. But we don't realize that there's healing, freedom, the ability to assist someone else. That's a calling sometimes in your life. But you're walking away from it because you feel a little pressure. It feels uncomfortable. It makes you sad. It confuses you. So let's go on. And patience brings experience. Experience, then, the breakdown in the Greek is character. That's why the Passion Translation had character in there. Character. What is character? It's your integrity. It's who you are. Have you ever met someone and you know that they have this peace about them, that they're not rattled and they're not upset by the things that would probably throw you off? Have you ever met a godly person and you know that person has been in the presence of God? Well, let me tell you, they walked through some pain with God. Have you ever met someone? They're just a little different. Their character is a little different. They don't walk and talk like even what they were brought up in anymore. They have integrity. And it's a tested and tried and true. It's a proven worth being approved. And says that patience, experience, and experience is hope. Hope is what it's sure. Hebrews says, hope is the evidence of things hoped for, things not seen, but things that you know that are for you. Hope. Hope. It's what is sure. It's confident. It's trust. It's expectation. And when you've been through a few of those things, you learn to realize that God is your hope. I know I feel pain now. I know I'm walking through it now, but, you know, he got me through the last thing I went through. He brought me through 5 days ago, 6 days ago, when my house was upside down and everything that could go wrong went wrong, but I'm still here. I'm still here, and he's still with me. Isn't that wonderful? I love the scripture says, and hope maketh not ashamed. That's where we have that faith in him, that he won't bring us through disgrace. We won't have to be dishonored or cursed. You know, he was a curse. He hung on the cross. Accursed is anyone on the wood that dies. He took that curse on the cross with us, and he became the curse for us. So I don't have to live a cursed life. He does not disappoint because his love has been shed abroad in our hearts. One translation says it's been poured out, overflowing. And that's what happened on the cross. That was his love, given his only begotten son for you, who had no strength to help yourself, always reaching and chasing you and pursuing you because he wants you. Despite the pain, do you think he knows your perfection? He knows your potential. He knows things are going to happen. Mistakes are going to be made. But he wants you anyways. He loves you that much. In the beginning with our relationship, my husband had to be a certain ideal of what I thought a husband was. If he didn't meet those expectations, I'm done. I ain't going to have a man treat me a certain way or not treat me a certain way or talk to me a certain way. I'm not going to put up with that. Christ loved us despite our flaws, and he went all the way to the cross and died. So I want to talk to you today about two different types of pain that we experience. There are two. The first one is your flesh, plain and simple. Can't get away from it. Have to wake up every morning to it. Have to walk through the day with it. It's going to give you some trouble. It's going to cause you some pain if you let it. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, and he said to them, speaking to the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. Deny self. Take up your cross daily. It's a daily struggle. You struggle with pride. You struggle with being selfish. You struggle with your idea of what perfection is. You struggle with the bitterness, the anger. I don't know. What else can you... You struggle with... There's so many things. You struggle with your emotions. Just ruling your emotions are hard to do without God. Because I feel this way. I behave this way. But it may not be what God says you should be as a child of His. With His power and authority, the Holy Spirit living within you, you can be what He's called you to be. So every day... We're living with this self struggle, this taking up the cross, denying my will and accepting His. Every day. That's a pain that we deal with. But, you know, we have the Holy Spirit who has promised He is a helper. He is our guide. If we allow Him, He even helps us with our weaknesses. Romans 8:26 says, He will help you with your weaknesses. He knows what they are. He's not a surprise to Him. 1 Peter 4, and I want to read that in the New Living Translation. Verses 1 through 4, it says, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude He had. And be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. There it is. If you have finished with sin, you will suffer. You have suffered physically for Christ. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You have had enough in the past of evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties and their terrible worship of idols. And of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do. So they slander you. Right there is the hardest part, is taking the attitude of Christ and trying to be what you're called to be despite what you used to be. It's a struggle that rages on. I do say there are things that you will conquer in your life, and you with Christ will get over those through the help of the Holy Spirit and the guiding, if you're leading, if you let Him, and they'll be easy. It'll be done. And you can help the brethren come and go through that. Like He told Peter, He says, when you come back, strengthen the brothers. It gives you strength that some people need, others will need. But I'm going to tell you, the door's going to open and the light's going to be turned on in another room, maybe tomorrow. Don't be discouraged by the pain. It's normal. We all go through it. We all experience it. We're here to help each other. That's why we need each other. That's why unity is such an issue. That's why community is such an issue. The second thing that will bring you pain is the enemy. It's who he is. What does the scripture say about him? The enemy is the adversary. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He's not here to be your friend. Jesus said he was a murderer from the beginning, and there was no truth in him. He's a liar. John 10:10 says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Did I get that right? A thief. It's steal, kill, and destroy, either way. He's not in for your good. Oh, but he makes it look nice in the beginning. All the temptations, all the feelings, and the emotions. But they all lead to death. Because that's who he is. And he can come to destroy, and he'll just steal, and he'll kill, and he'll destroy. That's the order it goes in. It seems so innocent in the beginning. But it leads to destruction. Destruction. How does he bring about pain? He uses those that are his children. Did you know that? I do. I can tell you firsthand. I'm sure most of you have. John 8:44, Jesus tells the Pharisees, or the Jews who were with him, that they were trying to kill him. And he says, "You are children of Satan." He saw them. He knew what they were. These were the leaders of the day, the religious leaders of the day, children of Satan. You remember the story in Matthew 13 about the wheat and the tares? We're dealing with two different things here. The tares. It says in verse 38 of that chapter, "The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." Now, I'm here to tell you, we don't war with flesh and blood. No. You have to realize who your enemy truly is. And maybe that person is bad-mouthing you, but it's the enemy that's using that person to do that. You have to realize that that is a soul that God desires as well, if he could have it. How do they do that? 1 John 3:10 says, "In this the children of God are manifest." How do we know who they are? "And they're manifest, and the children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, and neither he that loveth not his brother." It's easy to pick them out. They have no love, and they don't do righteousness. They'll take a different route. So how do I live and be victorious despite the pain? Because the pain is normal. And your flesh, Galatians 5:16. I want to read that to you because it's a mouthful. In the NIV version, because I thought that was a lot easier for me to handle and digest. Verse 16, and it says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit which is contrary to the flesh." Do you see that constant battle? Galatians 5:16. Do you see that constant battle? The flesh and the Spirit house together, but they're constantly desiring different things. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Be led by the Spirit. But, you know, to be led by the Spirit, you have to be in this other process. Because you have salvation. But you have to have, as Romans 12:1 says, you have to offer your body as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice. That means something dies. Pain. It's normal. Pain is normal. Every day. Sacrifice your body, your will, your mind, your thoughts, what feels good. Because you know you can't trust feelings. They're fickle. They'll be happy one day and one word, and they'll be sad and angry. And want to slit someone's throat. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You put the ponytail up. You know, when a girl puts her hair back, guys go, "Watch out." something's about to go down. It may be just cleaning the kitchen or the house, but you never know. She starts putting that stuff on and getting your black on. Got your knife, whatever. Okay. Somebody's tires are going to be in trouble. That's all I can say. But it says, do not conform to the patterns of the world. Step away from that stuff. My husband and I rarely even watch TV. It's definitely not what's on for today. You catch us watching Andy Taylor. Manix, some of that old stuff. I mean old stuff. They don't make them like that anymore. Matlock. I mean, you know, you can't watch. The quality of TV is not good. It's rare. Rare that we watch anything of anything today. But step away. Don't conform to that. Turn the TV off. Turn the music off. Turn it off. Wonder why you're not walking in victory? That might be part of the problem. And he says, to renew your mind. How do you renew your mind? Well, you can't put in what you used to. You got to get the Word of God out and start reading it. And not just reading it, but studying it. Look up the words. Get an understanding of what it is. Talk to God. The Holy Spirit's there to lead and guide you. That's His job. He would love to help you with that. Get in the Word. Renew your mind. This is how you get strength. Because when you go into battle with your flesh or the enemy, you ain't got no weapon unless you got the Word of God. He's going to tear you up and devour you just like that roaring lion. Live by the Spirit. Govern by the Spirit. Romans 5:8. Let's go back to that. Romans 8:5-8, and it reads, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. That renewing your mind tells you real quick if you're doing it or not. What do you desire? So the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That's how you have peace through the pain. How do we deal with the enemy, the pain the enemy brings? Ephesians 6:12 says, for we struggle not with flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We are not fighting with one another. First thing you've got to know. I know that slander is coming from that person's mouth, but it is the enemy. I was in my workplace praying over the chairs, and I went to one specifically, and the Holy Spirit dropped, and I started speaking in tongues. I knew what I was dealing with. I knew it wasn't just their fault. It was the enemy. We put on the whole armor of God. That's how you combat the enemy. And I want to read that in the Passion Translation. Ephesians 6, I don't know why I keep going to Romans. Ephesians 6, of course, this is well known. We read about it all the time. It says, put on, verse 11, put on God's complete set of armor provided for us so that you will be protected as you fight against the evil strategies of the accuser. Remember, he's an accuser. Your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings. Notice how close that is, hand-to-hand combat. But with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realm, for they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so that you're protected as you confront the slanderer. For you are destined for all things. And will rise victorious. There's a promise. It says, put on the truth as a belt to strengthen you to stand in triumph. Put on holiness as you protect, protective armor that covers your heart. Stand on your feet alert that you're always be ready to share the blessings of peace in every battle. Isn't that interesting? You're in a battle, but you're supposed to be sharing blessings of peace. In every battle, take faith as your wraparound shield, for it is able to extinguish the blazing arrows coming at you from the evil one. Embrace the power of salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from the lies, and take the mighty razor-sharp spirit sword of the spoken word of God and pray passionately. Pray for each other. James 4 and 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. You got to do that first part before you can get that second part. And I want to leave you with 1 Peter 4, because my time is more than up. And 12 through and 13, and this is in the Passion Translation. It said, beloved friends, if life gets extremely difficult with many tests, don't be bewildered as though something strange were overwhelming you. Instead, continue to rejoice, for you, in a measure, a small measure, has shared in the suffering of the Anointed One, so that you can share in the revelation of His glory and celebration with even greater gladness. Don't think it's strange. Pain is normal. It means you're doing something. You're going somewhere. Healing is there. Freedom is there. But don't be upset when pain comes, because it is normal. It is normal.